go.
I would like to be known as the Big Aristotle.
And I'm determined to bring a championship to Minnesota.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me?
Ho, ho, ho! Up high, down hard! Yeah! In your life have you seen anything like that?
I can't believe you're a golfer. I think you should be working at the snack bar.
Stand up and shine!
Don't you ever touch my puck! How do you like that?
We're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice.
Oh, we're live.
I didn't know that.
They are who we thought they were. And we left them off.
Good afternoon and welcome in to the big reveal. I told you I would give you the scoop, and I am going to deliver on that. We are now in what is going to be called The Scoop, and it is going to run Monday through Friday, every day that I am here. And it will cover sports of all kinds. We're going to, at least in the beginning, be focusing on the Twins, Timberwolves, Vikings, and the Wild. We'll also mix some college in as well. But once we get back into the swing of things with high school sports, that's going to be the main focus of this hour. We're going to have interviews with players, coaches, feature segments on players that get some nice achievements and things along that line. So I could not be more excited for this to have started. I had been putting in a lot of work getting this ready to go. And I know, thank you for bearing with us as we ended up teasing this, I think, for a good 5 or 6 months. But now we are here, and we are ready to go. So that is basically what is going to happen here in the 3 and the 4 o'clock, between 3 and 4 every day from now on. And I'd like to read for you to get started the mission statement here. You can go to myklgr.com and click under the sports tab and click on The Scoop. And this site will feature quite a few different things as we get going here. But basically what The Scoop is, at least how I have drawn it up, is it is more than just the box score. We will give you the scores. Obviously we'll talk about how the Twins did this weekend against Boston. We'll give you the scores. But we are also going to try to tell you what happened during the game, as well as why and what comes next. We've got some great guests lined up to talk about all of the four major pro teams here in the state. We'll be making sure to focus on some other things here as well. But that is basically mission statement here of what The Scoop is going to be once it gets up and running. Obviously, things are going to be a little bit different here during this week, just getting everything all lined up and ready to go. So there will be some growing pains, and I thank you for bearing with me while we get things ready to go here. There will be a podcast to support this show. So if you miss an episode during the day, don't worry. We'll have a podcast of the show up every day after it finishes, so you can listen for that as well on the website. But yeah, that is what we're doing here from 3 to 4 now every day with The Scoop. And the first thing that we are going to get underway here to start off this program is every day we are going to have a segment of the show where we go over the top headlines of the day. And that is going to be our jump ball segment. So let's get it started here with jump ball. And we've got a few sports headlines that we will be focusing in on here today. Starting off with probably the top sports headline heading into today, the Stanley Cup Finals. And we've got a Stanley Cup champion in the NHL. that being the Pittsburgh Penguins, as they ended up getting the win in Game 6 yesterday by a score of 3-1. The Penguins winning their fourth Stanley Cup championship overall as a team, and the Conn Smythe Trophy going to Sidney Crosby. Had a chance to watch a little bit of the playoffs, and this is going to be something that we will talk a lot about once we start delving into the play of the Minnesota Wild, is just what it will take for the Wild to get onto that same level as these teams that compete in the Stanley Cup playoffs year in and year out. So that is our top headline here of the day. The Stanley Cup champion Pittsburgh Penguins winning the series 3-1 in Game 6 last night. We move on to our second headline here today, and that dealing with the NBA Finals and a certain Golden State Warriors player who will not be participating in tonight's game between the Cavs and the Warriors, that being Draymond Green, as he has been suspended. Had an incident where he got tangled up with LeBron James in Game 4 of the series and ended up being assessed a flagrant foul. So he is over the flagrant foul limit for the playoffs and will have to sit Game 5, which is a huge advantage for the Cleveland Cavaliers for tonight's game. And we will talk about that in depth a little bit later on here in the program. Our third sports headline of the day. The Minnesota Lynx equaling their best start in team history after getting a couple of wins over the weekend. They're 10-0 once again, and we'll have some recap of that game coming up in our Friday Rewind later on here in the show. Fourth headline of the day, the Twins over the weekend. They went 1-2 against the Boston Red Sox, and their one win of the series was a pretty dramatic one that happened yesterday. We'll talk about that as well during the Friday Rewind. And also, a big part of our show here today, the state track and field meet happening this past weekend. We have a lot of area participants that were in that state meet. We will be making sure to highlight how they did at the state meet. We'll also be talking to Andy Rainier to recap how those Redwood Valley athletes did at the state meet. That coming up after our check of weather here on The Scoop. So those are our top sports headlines of the day with Jump Ball. We'll be doing that Monday through Friday here on The Scoop, so you can tune in to get a bit of a recap. If we have time on some days here, we'll be going a little bit more in depth with those headlines to talk a little bit more about kind of what went into those. But for today, we're just going to read off those five headlines and go from there. We will take a look at the weather details coming up after this. Then we'll talk to Andy Rainier with a recap of the state track and field meet. All of that coming up here on The Scoop. Again, as mentioned, you can catch The Scoop every Monday and through Friday from 3 to 4 p.m. So be sure to listen in, and we'll give you all the information on podcast and other such things once that becomes available. And we're going to get to a break. It's The Scoop on KLGR.
You're listening to The Scoop.
And that's the bottom line.
On KLGR, 1490 AM and FM 95.9. Catch The Scoop Monday through Friday from 3 to 4 p.m. on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9.
Our next guest, our first guest, I should say, going to be Andy Rainier, coach of the Redwood Valley track and field team. And Andy is going to help us recap how the state meet went for the Cardinals that participated. We'll also, during the Friday Rewind, have some of the results from the other area participants. As I mentioned, there was a lot of participation from area track and field team members. So a big congratulations to all of those who participated this past weekend.
Joined now by the head coach of the Redwood Valley Boys and Girls Track and Field Teams, Andy Rainier. Andy, thanks for taking some time to join me.
No problem. Thanks for having me again.
The state meet was this past weekend, and the Cardinals had some good representation at the meets, sending several athletes and getting some very good placements and finishes out of the participants. I want to make sure that we go down the line. So we will start with Logan Josephson, who competed in the 100-meter dash, took 18th with a time of 11.43 seconds. And in some of the remarks that you made after the meet, you talked about kind of Logan rounding into form this year, asked to compete in a lot of different events. And just talk about what you saw out of Logan here, not only at the state meet, but heading into next year as well.
Yeah, Logan came out for track and field last year as a freshman, and that was his first year out. And he made it to the state meet as a part of our relay teams in two events. And was really learning how to run, interested in hurdles. And this year he really extended what he did to being a field event competitor in the long jump, jumping 3 feet further this year than he jumped last year. And then really dropping his times from 12.17 or so down to, at one point, 11.35 in the 100. So he's just become stronger, a better runner technically. He was within 300ths of a second of making it in the 300 hurdles, ended up fifth in the section in the 200, and is just really coming a long, long ways for just being a sophomore. So he went to the state meet where the 100 is kind of the older kids' events typically, and as a sophomore he competed very hard, ran 11.43, and has to be proud. He ended up 18th in the state out of all those competitors. So he did a phenomenal job, and he's got a couple of years to continue getting better. He's a three-sport athlete that's just completely devoted, working hard, does things the right way, and should be fun to watch.
We will move on to Cade Johnson, of course, one of the, as you mentioned, more decorated athletes in the history of the school. Cade, again, in four events this year, he competed in the 200-meter dash, took 11th. He ended up being the state champion in the high jump, then also participated in the long jump and the triple jump. Long jump, he took 7th place, and the triple jump, he took 9th. And I wanted to get some of your thoughts just on Cade's overall body of work at the state tournament, but also kind of an interesting scenario that came into play with Cade having to try to pick and choose with some of his events lining up pretty close together in terms of times that they went.
Yeah, I mean, Cade's been on the honor roll, which means he's had very good performances in almost every event that we put him in. And we just had to pick at the section meet, where did we think he would do highest at state? And we just went with the three jumps. So we did not put him in the 100, thinking he could place higher in the triple jump than the 100. And that's kind of what he did. So Cade is now 6 times All-State and a state champion in the high jump. And he jumped 6'6", but he was jumping 6'8" when he was in his rhythm there. But in doing those events, you have some events that are at the same time, and he had high jump and long jump. And once he cleared 6'6", and the other competitors had missed at 6'6", their first attempt, they would have had to clear 6'7" to beat him. At that point, he decided to move over and get his jumps in the long jump and then come back to the high jump. So while at the long jump, he found out he was state champion. He had a couple of real nice jumps and his horizontal jumps that he scratched by about a toenail. But he was there to compete, not just set a school record, but to compete and try and win every event he was in. And that's one of the great attributes of him, is he's so competitive. And just talking about this young man in general, he again, in a small school, he's a three-sport athlete that's completely committed to what he does. He does things the right way. And over the years, he's turned himself into just a phenomenal athlete, as will be evidenced in his years to come here at Mankato State playing football. But what he was able to accomplish in having his picture on the wall as a state champion that will never go away is really just symbolic of all the work that he's done. And again, just like Kayla and other kids that have done incredibly well, Ryan, they deserve every bit that they get. So couldn't be happier for this young man. He'll be thoroughly missed. He's grown into a great leader for us, and we wish him the best as he goes, and so proud of him for what he did.
One of maybe the most, I don't want to say surprising participants for track this year, but definitely one of the most improved, Emma Gaffney, who you have talked about several times throughout the season, just continuing to put up phenomenal numbers at both the shot put and the discus throw. Emma went to state in both events and ended up placing 7th in the discus, with a pretty impressive throw length, but just talk about what Emma was able to accomplish here this year and what she was able to bring to the state meet as well.
Yeah, Emma came into the season recovering from some surgery she had on her ankle and couldn't spin early on in the season, so she was really limited. Couldn't get the reps in that she wanted. It was frustrating. But last year, I think she was throwing high 90s in the disc, and this year she got all the way up to 123 feet 1 inch at the section meet and stayed very competitive with a 117 at the state meet. So she shattered the school record by like 9 feet and is gaining a ton of confidence. And she had to do that and be patient through the recovery of her injury. And then in the shot put, she went from, you know, being high 34s, mid 35s to popping off a 38 at the section meet to qualify for state. So I don't want to say she exceeded expectations, but I don't think a lot of people in the area would have seen her doing this. And like I said, she's just very, very passionate about throws, and she works hard, and she's one that you kind of got to put the reins on when she gets that shot and disc in her hand to keep her fresh. So, again, a big competitor. She's not ecstatic over her distance, but I think once she takes a day off, and maybe by now she'll put some perspective in and said, oh, my gosh, I am an all-state thrower. And she has a lot to be proud of, and the other good part is she's got another year to continue growing. So she'll be working hard in the offseason to try and step up on what she did this year.
And we also have the 4x100-meter relay team comprised of Jillian Reed, Elena Gobler, Sydney Summers, and Kelly Audi. And this group as well putting up some impressive numbers. They placed 7th in the 4x100 relay and ended up setting the school record for time with just under 51 seconds. Talk about what you have seen from this group here throughout the course of the season.
Yeah, when we had our conference meet about 3 weeks ago, we just saw them running mid-53s and thought, oh, they're going to be competitive, but we're really going to have to nail those handoffs, and maybe they can score in the section meet. And, you know, then we get to the subsection meet, and they get down to the 52s and finish second in the subsection meet. And we're like, okay, they're right in the mix of it. Let's really continue nailing those handoffs and becoming one cohesive unit, which is what the 4x1 has to be. And then by the section meet, they go low 51s, and Callie passes somebody in the final 50 meters, and we end up making the state meet. And that was when you look at the girls' face, you thought they were going to be completely content making the meet. We're happy. And then we get there, and they're having fun. We're going out golfing, going out to eat, and having fun. But when we were at the track, they were dead serious, which was really important for a group of younger girls, most of them for the first time at the state meet on the big stage. Elena Goldish was the only one with any state meet experience, and they did it. They ran a 50.88, qualified for finals, beating the previous school record. And in finals, despite a little adversity, they came through and moved up another spot into 7th place. So really, really exciting and rewarding years for these kids, and they cut a lot of time off, and their name will be in that record book for a while anyway. And we'll see if they can beat it next year, because all four are coming back, and they're very, very hungry.
Excellent. Well, Andy, thank you so much for helping us recap the state meet. Very, very proud of all the Cardinal athletes that had a chance to compete over the weekend. And despite a couple of the seniors on the team moving on to better, bigger and better things with college and such, certainly a core group of this team coming back next year that should leave the Cardinals in good shape once again.
Hey, thanks for the time, and thanks, everyone, for letting us represent our community.
That interview again with Coach Andy Rainier talking about Redwood Valley track and field. We'll have some of the other area results later on here in the scoop. We're going to take a break for now. We'll come back with an MNN News update, and that's coming up. You're listening to The Scoop on KLGR, 1490 AM and FM 95.9.
You're listening to The Scoop.
I'll be back.
On KLGR, 1490 AM and FM 95.9. Missed today's episode of The Scoop? Find each and every episode on myklgr.com under the Sports tab.
Jumping back into The Scoop here on the inaugural day, thank you for listening. And it is time now for the Friday Rewinds. Every Monday, we will take a look at some of the best sports scores and games from the previous weekend. We'll get a little bit more in-depth on those games. And we're going to start off actually with state track and field. Want to make sure to give some congratulations to those area participants. And you heard in the interview with Coach Rainier, some of the participants for Redwood Valley. Again, I'll run through those briefly. Logan Josephson, competing in the 100-meter dash, took 18th. Cade Johnson, competing in four different events, the 200-meter dash, the high jump, the long jump, and the triple jump, took 11th in the 200-meter dash. First place in the high jump. Congrats to Cade for getting the state championship in the high jump. 7th in the long jump, 9th in the triple jump. Emma Gaffney competed in the shot put and the discus throw. Emma got 7th in the discus. Congratulations to Emma Gaffney. And the 4x100 relay team of Jillian Reed, Elena Gobler, Sydney Summers, and Callie Audi, they got 7th. So congratulations to all of the Redwood Valley participants in the state track and field meet. And we're going to run through the list of the area participants. Vishay Rabb of Springfield, Cedar Mountain Comfrey, competed in the 400-meter dash, got 2nd place. The 4x200-meter relay team from Springfield, Cedar Mountain Comfrey, composed of Irene Anderson, Kylie Wells, Josie Nestand, and Vishay Rabb, got 2nd place. The Belle Plaine 4x200-meter relay team, composed of Taylor Kruger, Anna Dong Kong, Alyssa Schultz, and Jenna Gatz, got 3rd place. And from Pipestone, the 4x200-meter relay team for the girls, Claire Femright, Mackenzie Haroldson, Michelle Neese, and Maria Spanier, got 4th place. So congratulations to those girls. And also Irene Anderson of Springfield, Cedar Mountain Comfrey, competed in the triple jump. So congratulations to all of the area girls that participated in the state track and field meets. And quickly now we will go to the boys that participated. Starting first in the 400-meter dash, Eli Stevens of Pipestone area took 2nd place. Matthew Van Epps of Central Minnesota Christian took 3rd. And Lucas Borgwart of Minnesota Valley Lutheran took 5th. To the 800-meter dash, Angelo Metzger of GFW took 5th place. The 1600-meter dash, Kurt Tibiest of Montevideo took 1st place. And continuing on with the results here. The 4x400-meter relay, a couple of area teams placing. The Minnesota Valley Lutheran team comprised of Noah Webb, Brian Kokesh, Sam Weishman, and Lucas Borgwart took 2nd, so congratulations to them for 2nd place. Pipestone took 5th, I beg your pardon. Tyle Wobler, Carter Nesvold, Devin Tinklenberg, and Eli Stevens took 5th place in the 4x400-meter relay. To the 4x800-meter relay, the team from Springfield, Cedar Mountain, Comfrey, Dylan Nackreiner, Logan Kelly, Andrew Nackreiner, and Russell Lumbar took 5th place in the 4x800-meter relay. And also in the boys' high jump, Tyle Wobler of Pipestone area took 2nd place. So congratulations. A lot of area participants in the state track and field competition. A big congratulations to all of those athletes for their participation in the state track and field meet. And we'll be hearing from the Redwood Valley participants later on this week. So you can be listening for that later on here sometime this week on The Scoop. Have to kind of get that nailed down. Of course, with those high school kids, their schedules are so different from day to day, but we will get those on the air for you here sometime this week. We'll try to give you a heads up as to when those will be put on the air. A little bit more to get to here on the Friday Rewind. We're going to talk Minnesota Lynx a little bit here, as the Lynx have equaled the best start in franchise history. They started the season 10-0, and that due to a couple of wins over the weekend, and they played Friday and Saturday. So we will start off with, if I can find it here, had it up. You know how that goes. You've got things ready to go, and then all of a sudden everything disappears. But they played on Friday against Atlanta, and that ended up being a 110-78 win for the Lynx to improve to 9-0 on the season. And then on Saturday they took on Washington, and they ended up beating the Mystics by a score of 83-76. So the Lynx, 10-0 on the season, equaling the best start in franchise history, and certainly looking like they will contend for another championship here this season, and we certainly hope that they do. Their next game will be tomorrow night against Indiana, but as for the Lynx, that is that's about all they've got right now, as their season about a third of the way through, and they continue to put up some impressive numbers, leading the WNBA in 8 points per game at 87. So they are putting on a show here on the early part of the season. How about the Minnesota Twins? They took on the Boston Red Sox over the weekend, and the first two games did not go according to plan, as the Twins lost the opener by a score of 8-1. They were pretty much neck and neck with the Red Sox in game two. However, the bullpen gave up 10 runs in the eighth and ninth innings, so they ended up losing by a score of 15-4. But they played yesterday and were able to jump out to an early lead. Boston came back to tie the Twins, though, in the bottom of the 10th inning, able to push out ahead. And thanks to the first major league home run for Max Kepler, the Twins able to walk away with a 7-4 victory over the Red Sox. A bit of a sloppy game, as the Twins had a couple of errors that they committed, which led to three runs in the top of the eighth inning, but able to escape a jam in the top of the 10th when Xander Bogaerts reached first base on a single, then stole second, and with him in scoring position, Michael Tonkin was able to strike out David Ortiz. We headed to the bottom of the 10th, and a little bit of a curious decision for the Red Sox. They did not opt to walk Kepler, although with the numbers that he had put up so far this year, I could probably understand why, but with first base open, they opted not to walk Kepler, and he ended up hitting a walk-off home run despite Boston bringing in a fifth infielder to try to cut down any sort of ground ball up the middle. But nonetheless, Kepler gives the Twins a walk-off win, 19-43 on the season. So the Twins still are in last place in the American League Central. They're 16 back of Cleveland for first place. But now they will start things off tonight against the Angels in Los Angeles. And we'll have more on that coming up at the end of our program here today. But that is just a little bit of a taste of what Friday Rewind is going to have in store. We will have more in-depth with some scoring plays probably, as well as some interviews during that Friday Rewind as we go. But for now, just kind of getting things started. So that will be one of our regular segments here every Monday on The Scoop. We're going to take another break. We'll come back and we will give you another update on the forecast details. And that is on the way. You're listening to The Scoop on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9.
You're listening to The Scoop.
And that's the bottom line.
On KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. Home for Redwood Valley Cardinal Athletics all season long. KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9.
Back here on The Scoop, and time is running out about as fast as I could possibly imagine. Our final, well, at least the final segment for today. We'll have more throughout the week, but it is called What's on Deck. We're going to take a look at what we have for sporting events going on all week. Not all week, for tonight. And we're going to start off with probably the biggest game on the schedule tonight, that being the NBA Finals Game 5, that being played back in Oracle Arena. The Warriors headed back home. But as we mentioned at the top of the show, they're going to be without one of their top players, Draymond Green, who is going to be sitting out after getting suspended for a incident that he had with LeBron James in Game 4. So it'll be tough for the Warriors to close things out tonight. They certainly, though, have an edge anytime they've got Klay Thompson and Steph Curry hitting on all cylinders. So we'll have to see. 8 o'clock, things will get underway as the Warriors will try for that final nail in the coffin to finish things off and end up taking their second consecutive NBA championship. So that is the first game that we've got on the schedule for today. Running through the Major League Baseball schedule for tonight's all evening games, starting at 6 o'clock, it'll be the Cubs and the Nationals, Kyle Hendricks against Max Scherzer. Then at 6:07, it is the Phillies against the Blue Jays in Toronto, Jared Eichhoff pitching for the Phillies against R.A. Dickey. 6:10, it's the Reds at Atlanta taking on the Braves. It'll be Daniel Wright pitching for the Reds against Aaron Blair for the Braves. Tigers taking on the White Sox in an AL Central battle. Matt Boyd on the mound against the recently acquired James Shields. That's he will try to have a better result than his debut for the White Sox, in which he gave up 7 runs in less than an inning. Another AL Central clash, the Indians and the Royals at Kauffman Stadium tonight at 7:15. Carlos Carrasco against Edison Volquez. Dodgers and the Diamondbacks at 8:40 tonight. Mike Bolsinger against Zach Greinke. Twins and the Angels, 9:05 tonight at Angel Stadium. It'll be Ricky Nolasco against Jared Weaver, the pitching matchup for that game. Rangers and Athletics at 9:05 tonight. The pitching matchup, Cesar Ramos for the Rangers, and he will be pitching against Sean Manea for Oakland. Marlins and Padres, Wei-Yin Chen against Colin Ray, the pitching matchup in that game, and that one gets started later as well, that a 9:10 start. Final game of the night, 9:15, Brewers and Giants, Chase Anderson against Matt Kane, the pitching matchup in that game. Also on the schedule for tonight, and we will, a little bit later on after a couple of games have been played, we will be talking some Redwood Falls VFW baseball. As the schedule for tonight, Redwood Falls American Legion is a doubleheader at Jackson at 6 o'clock. The Redwood Falls VFW will host Marshall Black at 6 o'clock tonight at Memorial Field. A little better playing conditions tonight than as we've had over the last couple of days. Redwood County VFW has a bye tonight, and the Wabasso Legion has a bye as well, so we'll be paying attention to how some of the town ball teams do here this summer as well. And look at that. It is already 3:58 here today. All aboard!
Enough's enough! Taunting Marty Foster to throw him out, and he's gone.
Yeah, he gone.
Fans want an ejection. There he goes.
And we'll see you tomorrow night.
Hard to believe how fast an hour can go, especially when you start something new. But that's pretty much it here for the scoop today. You can check back on the website, myklgr.com, click on the sports tab. Check back a little bit later. I'll try to get the podcast version of today's episode on the website as quick as I can here this afternoon. But yeah, this is what we have been teasing for the last several months, and that is the inaugural edition of The Scoop in the books here today. Coming up on The Scoop tomorrow, we will have one of our regular guests on. I won't tell you who just yet, but we'll be talking Minnesota Twins baseball tomorrow, and we also have another one of our regular segments. We're going to debut the trending segment tomorrow during the program. But other than that, for more sports, as always, be sure to check out myklgr.com. I'm Seth Topol, and that was The Scoop for today. We will see you again tomorrow at 3:05. We'll do it all over again here on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. As for right now, we'll get you to ABC News headlines here on KLGR Redwood Falls. 4 o'clock, it is time for ABC News.